Good morning, good morning, good morning, my love. This is Roseanne Austin, and I am so excited and happy to welcome you to Unstoppable. Think like a couple who succeeds on their fertility journey. As we get started this morning, I want to make sure that everyone can hear me. So if you have dialed in, I would love it if you could just hit star 2 on your telephone keypad. We have so much fantastic information to be sharing with you, and I want us to make sure that you can hear me. Okay, great. Awesome. So love, again, for those of you just jumping on this call, this is Roseanne Austin, and you are at Unstoppable. Think like a couple who succeeds on their fertility journey. And we are so lit up to be here with you this morning because the topic of you and your partner uniting in mindset so you can achieve success on this journey is critical. Even if your relationship with your partner is rock solid, the fact is your fertility journey is bound to challenge you in ways that neither of you could have ever imagined. And, you know, this journey is, it's really unique. It's unique because as much as it is a journey for you as a couple, it's also an intensely personal one. And I think that's something that we don't really acknowledge. And it's something that's super important. And, you know, it, in that way, it raises issues for you as a couple, but also as individuals. Perhaps that you might have thought were long dead. So the nature of this particular reality, it really sets us up to have to step up our game in more ways than one. And if you and your partner want to come out on the other end of this together and successful, it requires you to think like a couple who succeeds. And when you do, you absolutely become unstoppable. And in this context, thinking like a couple who succeeds, it really means that you take ownership for what you want to create together on this journey, and you take responsibility for thinking and acting in accordance with that common goal. And the coolest thing about all of this is that when you think like a couple who succeeds, you end the harrowing pattern of freakout that plagues millions of people around the world who have lived this journey. And you really do end the cycle of fear-based thinking and catastrophizing that really creates so much stress on this journey. And most importantly, you can confidently answer the two very valid, but let's admit it, scary as hell questions that just about every couple who has been on this journey, who is on this journey, grapples with. And that's one, will my relationship survive this journey? And two, what's going to happen next, right? The pressure and anxiety from dealing with what's going on with you, in addition to what's happening in your partnership as a result of this journey, it can be so overwhelming. And what I see in, you know, having coached women all over the world, you know, what I see coming up consistently is that, you know, under so much pressure, under so much stress, under so much freakout, you know, and so much overwhelm ultimately, that instead of getting the whole truth about what's really going on for us and for our relationships as we live this journey, we just end up choosing to labor under mistaken or unfair notions about the state of our relationship, which only creates more uncertainty and distance between the two of you. And the other reality is there is so much silence and shame surrounding fertility issues that it can be really hard to find relatable role models or even couples willing to be open about their experience and shed some light on the things that they did to be successful, you know, in a really empowering way. So today is all about giving you a behind-the-scenes look at one couple's perspective on what it takes to think like a couple who succeeds on this journey. And my husband and I are here to share our experience and how we really turned things around to set ourselves up to beat the odds, because that's exactly what we had to do. You know, when we think back to where we were on this journey and everything that we endured, it was really for us about having to beat the odds. Now, before we go any further, I want to send a loving shout out to Joanne and the entire Circle and Bloom team for making this time that we have together possible. Circle and Bloom is absolutely extraordinary. They are committed to empowering women on this journey by creating programs that harness the undeniable power of the mind-body connection. And Circle and Bloom was an integral part of my own journey. Circle and Bloom programs helped me see how powerful I was. It was a real starting point for me to take control of where I was going on my journey. And it was really such a gift. And I really learned that I could leverage the power of the mind-body connection to beat the odds. So as part of the Circle and Bloom community, I would love it if all of you just sent a moment of gratitude to Circle and Bloom for helping us make this happen this morning. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time who don't know me, again, my name is Roseanne Austin. I'm a fertility mindset coach. I help women get pregnant by teaching them to leverage the most powerful resource they have, mindset. Having spent years on my own fertility journey while I was a state prosecutor here in California, undergoing every treatment, diet, lotion, potion I could get my hands on, and us spending well over $100,000 in the process and still not getting pregnant, I had to learn about mindset the hard way. And when I started using the undeniable power of the mind-body connection to my advantage through mindset, I beat the odds. And it's why I'm 44 today with a 16-month-old, well, actually he'll be 16 months in just a couple days, with a 16-month-old son who was conceived naturally after being treated at a top 10 teaching hospital here in California and was basically being told that it wasn't going to happen for me or for us. And so having taken my experience and my professional training as a coach, I now coach women on 6 of 7 continents to do exactly that, beat the odds. And beating the odds is what my clients do day in and day out. And we're continuing in a massive baby boom, even as early as yesterday in my coaching practice. In fact, one of my clients gave birth to her baby boy yesterday after years of disappointment with IUI, IVF, donor eggs, and a litany of treatments. This, my loves, is what happens when a woman takes control of what she thinks and believes and supports her body to make the seemingly impossible possible. This is why I am so passionate about what I teach and why I love coaching women around the world to master their mindset on this journey. They become unstoppable. And that absolutely includes the approach they take to their relationships. So, love, I really hope that you invited your partner to join us this morning because this is really going to be fantastic. And today, you're going to learn what it's really like to be the quote-unquote other half of the fertility equation, and you may be quite surprised. You're also going to get the scoop on the pivotal conversation that finally put my husband and I on the same page, and on the same page regardless of what showed up on our journeys. You're also going to discover the game-changing way that we use disappointment and quote-unquote failure as a springboard to have more peace, more joy, and more happiness as we lived our journey on the way to our son. And we're going to share with you really the critical piece of the puzzle that made Asher's arrival to us. You know, it became no longer a matter of if, but simply when. You know, we're going to be sharing with you, you know, what was that? You know, what was it that really gave us, you know, that confidence? And this is really special, my loves, because today is actually our anniversary. So later today, we're going to be going out and celebrating our wedding anniversary. And so it's really a special time for us to be with you. And it's really a celebration of where we've been and where we're going on this journey, because I think you're never quite off this journey. I think that, you know, your fertility journey is something that stays with you forever, and it really is an opportunity for you to grow. It's a really amazing opportunity for you to deepen your relationship. And if you're smart, which I know you are because you're on this call, it's a way for you to really take control back in your life. You know, so many people get derailed by this, and it's understandable, but it's absolutely something that you can prevent and something that you can remedy when you use the power of mindset. So I'm super giddy to introduce all of you to my husband. And Ladies, I'm not going to hold back. I really lucked out. I just, my husband is my soulmate. He is amazing. And I just marvel. I mean, especially today on our anniversary, you know, it's just incredible how far we've come together and really how we were able to turn things around on this journey and use our experience strategically to not only position ourselves for success as parents, but also as, you know, in success as a couple. My husband is a Marine, a first responder, a stand-up guy, and devoted father to our miracle son. And my husband, Brandon, knows exactly what it means to be an awesome partner on this journey. So I am so delighted he is here with us to share his perspective. So welcome, babe.
Good morning, love.
And so I want to start us off with, you know, giving all of you a perspective of kind of where we were at when the reality of this journey came into our field of vision. Because, you know, when we got together and we really, you know, said, hey, we're going to do this, we're not only going to be together, but we want to have a family, we just presumed that things were just going to happen when it came to having our baby. And it soon became clear that things weren't going to happen necessarily the way that we wanted them to. We were trying for a while, and we figured, oh, you know, it's just going to take a little bit. And at that time, you know, I already was starting to freak out about age. You know, I was working as a prosecutor, and I knew that my job was really stressful. But it very quickly, fear started to take over. And, you know, both of us are highly educated professionals, and we found ourselves really trapped in this pendulum swing where, you know, we felt absolutely unstoppable. We felt like we, you know, we had worked hard in our lives. We were going to, you know, that there was going to be a direct correlation between how hard we worked and what we achieved. And so it didn't quite start out that way when it came to having our family. So, love, it would be really awesome to have you chime in. You know, what was it like for you when you really began to understand that maybe things weren't going to happen for us in this area of our lives as quickly as we had hoped?
Well, I think that's a great point, that I really, really took this process for granted at the very beginning, in that it was just nature and it would happen. And that was very difficult when you start seeing that it's not working. I mean, according to my teacher in seventh grade in health class, you put two things together and one thing automatically happens. And here I am years later, shocked and kind of scared that things weren't working. And you instantly kind of go into freak out. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my partner? And it becomes this kind of a pit of stress in your stomach. It did for me. It became like a pit of stress in my stomach for me, and concern that there was something wrong with one of us.
Yeah, and that immediately, I think what the other thing that we noticed is, you know, we found ourselves, you know, really in a bit of a panic, because we also, I mean, a lot of the people around you already had families. And I know that people in, you know, when I was working as a prosecutor, I mean, there were so many people around me that were having families. And I think it was very quickly we started to descend into this place of, wow, we're not like everybody else. What do you think about that?
Yeah, which does add another level of stress. You do have close friends that have children, and then of course becomes the inevitable question of, when are you guys having children? Which adds some odd, bizarre stress. Like, yeah, you're right, I should be having children, but it's not working. But I'm not telling you why, because I don't know why, and maybe it's none of your business. Maybe I would ordinarily tell this person because I am relatively close to them, but I'm embarrassed because I think I'm inadequate or insufficient in some way.
Yeah, it was really interesting because, you know, when we, and I think particularly, you know, I would love to hear your perspective, babe, and I'm sure the ladies would too. You know, what's it like to be the other half of the fertility equation? You know, like, because you're watching me in freak out. Like, what was it like for you as a man?
I think for me, I'm not going physically through the process that you are, and I'm trying to be supportive. But of course, I have concerns for your our collective physical well-being, and then your mental well-being, because once my tests are complete and once your tests are complete, it seemed like you were still bearing the weight of the failures, as the success just simply wasn't coming. And so not only did that have mental effects that it did, but it translated and turned it right back around into the physical effects I saw you wearing from the stress of that process.
Yeah, and you know, as a man, I mean, did you feel like you had much support? I mean, at all, you know, when it came to this topic?
Support from who? From where? Where do you get support? The doctors are fantastic. We had a great group of doctors once we found the right place for us, and I don't fault our doctors for anything. They treated us extremely well. We weren't treating ourselves well mentally and spiritually and emotionally. And so watching you go through this and the support that you got from the doctors and how it's not working, it was, for me, it made me feel like failure as a man, because I couldn't provide more support for you. I didn't know how. I never had to have support like this modeled for me. And my culture of guys don't discuss stuff like that. So I was doing the best I could, but certainly felt inadequate that I couldn't provide you with the support that you needed.
Well, and I think what was interesting, and for everyone to understand, I mean, we have a great relationship. And I think even within the context of that great relationship, it was really hard for us to be really open and honest, because there were so many things that were just going on for us that it was hard to even articulate. And that it was incredibly stressful, because there was, you know, I always felt like I was trying to figure out what you were thinking and, you know, what you were, you know, what was your perspective on all of this? And I was struggling with that, because I thought to myself, you know, oh my God, I'm going to somehow deny this man that I love dearly, you know, of the experience of having a family. And it was just this quiet, like, it's just, it was a seething stress that I was under, that, you know, constantly worried about, you know, what you were thinking and all of that and all of the stress that goes on, and, you know, feeling really insecure in our relationship, not because of the way you were behaving, but because of the way that I was thinking and all of the things that I was, you know, quietly freaking out about in the process. So what was going on for you?
Well, yeah, It's difficult to just come out and have a conversation. It was for us. I never felt like our relationship was strained from this process. I knew my commitment to you, and I felt your commitment to me was absolute. And that, to me, that was never a concern. The concern was that I thought you might be thinking that if this fails, that you failed me. And without just coming out and saying, regardless of how this process goes, you and I are always going to be number one, and we're always going to be successes in our relationship and in our love. It took us a while to get to that point, to have that really, really hardcore conversation, because I was afraid that you were afraid that if this didn't happen, that I was going to leave you, and that was never going to be the case.
Well, and I think that's the pivotal conversation that finally put us on that same page, regardless of what showed up on our journey. And so let's share with the ladies, because I think that's the thing, like hearing that from my husband and like us having that really watershed conversation where we just really laid it out on the line. Like, I think that was huge for us, because I mean, that definitely, like, us getting on the same page and really laying it on the line and being 100% honest with each other, I think in the way that you described it, that really gave us an even stronger foundation to face this journey. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, there was never a moment where there was dishonesty. And this conversation didn't just happen one time. It happened with the first conversation. And it took a few more conversations before I felt that you felt secure with what that conversation meant. That's not just something you say, oh, hey, babe, no matter what happens, I'm still with you. I think that's something that needs to be a little bit more deeply conveyed, because it is such a scary topic that if I physically fail this relationship by not providing a baby, am I going to lose my partner? And I can't imagine. And it really unnerved me on top of all the other stuff that we were going through, that you had to consider that too. And once we had that first conversation and we had the subsequent conversations to compound that thought, I felt a lot stronger, like this message was actually being conveyed, and you were actually feeling like what I was saying was not just lip service to try and support you, but it was actually how I felt.
Yeah, and I mean, that's part of the reason why I love you so much, but you know, it really was, ladies, it really was a series of conversations, because I was so locked in my own fear and my own negativity about what was happening and how I was literally denying my husband of the experience of being a father. Like, I was so locked in that I couldn't even see straight. Like, the level of stress that I was under, because, you know, my husband and I are, you know, we work really hard. We're super hard workers. We're very goal-oriented and very focused. And this was the first time in our lives where there was not a direct correlation between how hard we worked and what was coming out. You know, we're both, like, type A, super high-achieving individuals and professionals. And so I think for both of us, and I would love it if you chimed in, babe, is, you know, that this was a real shocker to us, because, you know, we're used to giving so much of ourselves. You know, we don't expect anything to come to us easily. Like, we put in the work. And when it wasn't happening, it really rocked our sense of personal achievement, our sense of confidence, and, you know, ultimately having that conversation together about the state of our relationship and or the series of conversations, you know, to really drive that point home and really get it into our DNA that, look, regardless of what happens, we're going to be together, and we're not, you know, we're not going to allow this journey to separate us, I think was huge. What do you think?
Yeah, I still believe that there's a direct correlation with the effort you put in equals the result you get out. And there's been times in my life where I haven't applied myself as good as I should have. But this was not one of those cases where I thought we had a good support between each other and we were applying everything we possibly could that we knew of to do at the time. And it still wasn't working. So here we are, you know, professionals in our career and great, you know, professional and personal successes for each one of us. And we put in this work, and we don't get the result on the other side, and it really just didn't make any sense to either one of us. It was confounding that we could put so much effort and so much, I don't know if we'd ever dedicated that much, I mean, other than being in school every day or work every day, 8 hours a day, but outside of that, you have to put so much time and effort into this to not see any results on the other side. I was befuddled by it on a regular basis. Like, how does this not work this time?
Well, yeah, and I think we also struggled with we're good people, we're honest, decent people, you know, why is this happening to us? And in our respective professions at the time, or at least my profession at the time, was, you know, we saw people all around us. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit, like, I was in a whole lot of judgment, you know, comparing myself to everybody that came in and out of the courtroom and, you know, asking myself, you know, why is this happening to me? And
yeah, not only was there the analytical of, hey, work goes in, product comes out, but what were we missing? We thought like you said, we thought we were good people. Are we lacking some form of karma that we're missing out on here? Because I see some people in here with 10 kids that shouldn't have one, and they've had the 9 taken away, or whatever the case was. How are they so lucky and blessed to have all these children, and we can't have one? That was really, really difficult. Not that I would get a lot of them, but I would see you would get baby shower announcements and how those affected you, and how they would put you in a little bit of a funk for a short period of time. And I don't know if I'm sure there was elements of jealousy from us on, when we viewed other people. Yeah, those are probably the times that made me feel guilty in a way that I'm happy for Joe and Susie. I really am, but why them and why not us? They're on number 3 and we can't have one. Where's the equity here?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what was also interesting is, when we got to that point, I mean, I think there was a point when we saw that we couldn't continue going in that route. Like, and I remember I got to the point where I'm like, look, I need to learn how to live this journey differently. And, I had gotten to the point where I'm like, look, we're doing all these restrictive diets. We're, getting acupuncture. I mean, there was a point in time in our journey where I was driving to San Francisco 3 times a week to go to this acupuncturist, that had all this success. And, I was trying every lotion, potion, and, everything I could get my hands on, like I shared earlier. And I reached a breaking point because it felt like trying to have our baby was another full-time job, in addition to being the lead trial attorney in the sexual assault unit. Like, it was just, it really got to a breaking point. And so that's when I reached out and finally started looking for help. And that's when, I didn't find anyone that was like specifically oriented toward fertility, but I really started getting myself out there and asking for help and getting coaching. And like, so what did you notice, babe, when we finally like made that decision?
Well, going back just one step back is that as we're coming toward the end of and changing our lives and how we're going to attack this journey, I was watching you physically deteriorate. You had lost weight, and I could see you were wearing stress, and it was just kind of mentally and physically getting to a point of there was too much. And I remember you saying something like, the doctors that we have are fantastic, but I just don't have the support in other ways that I need to be able to find. And I remember you started looking for support, and it certainly didn't take long before your mental health and subsequently your physical health immediately started changing and working with each other to in essence heal the damage that this process had started.
Yeah. And, it was really interesting because after having been on this journey for so many years, like it finally clicked in my mind. I'm like, wait a second. Everybody on our fertility team was bringing their A game. Like everybody was operating at the top of their, at the top of their field. The one part of the equation that wasn't right was me. And I don't say that in like a blaming way, but when I think about the negativity, the fear, the freak out, the way that I was making decisions from a place of lack and scarcity, and just, I was eating myself alive basically with the way that I was thinking. Like I really, looking back on it all these years later and seeing the pattern of behavior and also seeing the pattern of behavior that, I've coached women through now as a professional myself in this area was that, I wasn't bringing the best part of me to the table. Like I was literally setting all of those treatments that we had gone through up to fail because of the way that I approached them. And I think even the way that we made decisions. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. For as smart as I guess maybe we like to think we are, the most basic factor in the mindset was what we were leaving behind. And looking at, you know, terrible numbers and attaching a meaning to them. You know, Dr. X says, hey, you know, these processes work, you know, 20% of the time. Well, 20% is an F. That's failing. This clearly isn't going to work. It's not going to work. We're throwing, you know, bad money after good money and or good money after bad money, both directions. And it was, it seeming like it wasn't going to work with 20% odds. Why are we continuing with this? So having that sort of mindset was setting us automatically up for failure. You can't go in with a belief that you're going to fail ahead of time. It doesn't work.
Right. You can't think one thing and create another. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. So, you know, what was it? I mean, when you saw the change in me, what was the impact on you?
Well, I certainly gained some confidence because not that I ever felt we were in jeopardy, but I saw this deterioration of you that had me concerned in so many ways that maybe this process is too much for her and now she's going to leave me because she doesn't want the stress of it all. And so when the mindset started rolling back around and you got the help you needed and the support you needed, it really felt like, oh, wait a second, now I have my beautiful wife back and now I feel this connection again. And my fear was greatly diminished, and I felt the confidence in you, and I felt the confidence in me, and I felt confidence in us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really pivotal for us. I think it was a marked change. So let's share with the ladies, like, how, you know, what was it, you know, after I started changing my mindset and, you know, and there was that ripple effect in you through getting the help and getting the coaching through the process, like, let's share with them, like, how, like, what was this, you know, how did we change the way we looked at disappointment and failure in a way that it actually helped catapult us to have more peace, the joy, and the confidence that we had been craving for so long?
Well, the biggest thing for me that I use to this day is this happening to me or is this happening for me? And so we asked the same question then was, is this happening to us or is this happening for us? And when you can use the experience as something that is happening for you as opposed to happening to you, now it's your experience that is you can use to your advantage. And so that's not always the easiest thing to do. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, oh, geez, I just got hit with an arrow in my arm. Is this happening to me or for me? It's not always the easiest thing to exercise. But when you practice it like we do still regularly, this piece of wood fell on my foot. Is this happening for me or to me? Well, there's different applications for it, but it certainly helped start to roll us in the right direction of viewing things and changing our minds about how we look toward the future based on what we had just experienced.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, dealing with the disappointment and the failure that, or quote unquote failure, because I think we've definitely gotten wiser about how we use that word, and we use it very sparingly, if ever, is that it really underscored for us, because we had lived for so many years in deprivation. Like, we were constantly depriving ourselves of vacations and things because we were telling ourselves the most ridiculous stories that, okay, well, because we're going through an IVF cycle, that we can't be, you know, we can't be alive. Like, we can't go do things. And we lived a really small and constricted existence. We just were saying no to everything that, you know, was bringing us pleasure and joy in our lives. And we both had really hard jobs. And we just were completely shut down in that area. So So what would you say happened for us when we changed our mindset about what was possible for us and seeing that things were happening for us? Like, how do you think that we use that to actually catapult us to have more joy and peace on our journey?
Well, we started living our life again. We started living out without this guilt of this process and this failure and this money and all this sort of stuff. We changed all that. We returned to us being the priority and not the process being the priority. We returned to living the life that we had before we started the process of all the fertility treatments, with whatever it would have been, a vacation, a nice quick getaway for the weekend. Because for a while, I mean, we went, you know, probably 4 or 5 years without a vacation because we were in fear of, oh, hey, it's bad time to fly. Maybe we can't go because the tickets for wherever we want to go are too expensive and we need to save that money for the next part of this journey. Whatever it was, we lived a very limited and constricted life. And then once we start changing our mind and go, hey, this is happening for us for a reason. Let's just get back to what was important and get back to us and get back to the core of who we are and what started this loving process, because nothing wants to show up in all that stress. And when we brought joy and happiness and all of that back to our lives, that's seemingly a lot more welcoming to an individual to find a way to get to you.
Oh, I love the way you put that. I mean, that actually segues into the point that we wanted to make about, like, what was this critical piece of the puzzle that made, you know, Asher's arrival no longer a matter of if, but when. And I think you raised a great point. So say more about that, because you were hitting the nail right on the head.
Well, we kind of started tailing out of our process with fertility and made decisions. I was really struggling with watching you. I didn't want to continue to give you 3 shots a day and sleep with a African fertility doll underneath our bed and watch you go to San Francisco 3 times a week to buy black chickens to make, you know, witch's brew or something like that. It was just too taxing. And so then all of a sudden I got the joy of my having my wife back, where we don't have to worry about all this other stuff, and we're living our life, and we're doing a vacation again, which was, you know, spectacular, and that was a great time, and we started changing our attitudes, and we started upping our level of joy, and for me personally, it was spiritually, and I know I hit on it a second ago, but I think our joy and our happiness and our love reignited a spark that is certainly a lot more welcoming and more like a homing beacon to that little spirit that we were trying to call in. And that was a big part in that. And then I could immediately see your health change, our relationship change. Joy came back to a lot of different parts of our life, and I certainly felt better. You looked better. I know you felt better, and getting the help that to retool your mindset retooled my mindset, and we just started enjoying our life again.
Yeah, and it doesn't, I mean, I say this to everyone who asks me, like, you know, what was it that finally, you know, after all of those years, I mean, and it really was, you know, we started living in alignment with the way that with who we really were. And it doesn't surprise me that we conceived Asher naturally. I mean, after years and years and years of fertility treatment failure, I mean, and we were sparing no expense. Like, we did just about everything you could possibly do. And it doesn't, you know, some people would say, oh my God, you know, your son comes naturally after all of that. Like, do you regret, you know, the money and all this stuff? And I just think to myself, no, because what was missing for us was this critical piece. And it doesn't surprise me that he came when he did, because we were actually in a place where we felt great, where we were absolutely welcoming, and we could be the people that we wanted to be for him. You know, because from the very get-go on our journey, when things started to, you know, seemingly go sideways, you know, that's when the fear and the negativity, you know, literally strangled out, you know, all of the joy and all of the excitement that we had about the process. And so, you know, it's we can look back on it now and see how detrimental that was, and really not just to our mental state, but the way we were showing up on our journey and the decisions we made, you know, making choices from fear and negativity. They those kinds of choices typically suck. And as a result, we were getting sucky results. So.
Absolutely. Go ahead, love.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to quickly add that every time we took a step towards something we wanted, it took a step toward us. Where when we were in the process in a bad mental mindset, when we believed it was a failure before we started, we were walking away from our goal. So that, you know, that shift for us was a big one. Every time we realized we're taking one step closer, it's taking one step closer to us, and that we fostered that through our mindset and our happiness and our return to our joy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, I really want to open it up for questions from the ladies, because, you know, this is a fairly rare, you know, situation where you have a couple that's actually quite open to discussing, you know, what we went through and, you know, in order to support you through your process, love. So, you know, if you want to ask this question, go ahead and hit *2 on your telephone keypad, because, you know, this is an opportunity. You know, ask us anything. If you can't tell, we're pretty open. So about, you know, what we've been through, you know, and where we're going on this journey, and, you know, the pain that we were, you know, we were enduring. So if you have a question, go ahead and hit *2 on your telephone keypad, and we will absolutely answer it. You know, and in the meantime, I mean, this is, it's such a powerful thing when couples come together in this way and they can really, you know, get on the same page and empower each other through the process. And, you know, and mindset's such a huge thing. I mean, and this is why I left my work as a prosecutor, was to help other women just like me, or, you know, that I could identify with, get through this journey intelligently, because there is another way. You don't have to live this journey in fear and freak out. Like, it really can be something better than that. And, you know, if that's interesting to you, what I always do for the Circle and Bloom community is request time with me. As my gift to the Circle and Bloom community, I offer breakthrough sessions, and we will get down and dirty. Like, what has got to shift about your mindset? You know, and we can talk about working together, because look, I mean, having lived this journey and coming out not only together with my husband stronger, but successful and actually beating the odds, we absolutely and unequivocally point back to this constellation of things really turning around for us, beginning with mindset. So if you want that, you can hit, you know, there's a little gray box that is, if you're listening online, you can click that. You know, I'm ready for my breakthrough. You can click that to request time with me. We're also going to be sending out an email after this, where you can request your breakthrough session to chat with me about working together and really looking, you know, what are the ways that you can use mindset to actually change the way that you're living this journey, and ultimately, you know, which is logical and linear, how you can use this to support changing your results on this journey. So we have a question coming in on a Q&A. So if you want to ask me live, you know, hit *2 on your telephone keypad, and we, both of us, are absolutely happy to answer any questions you have. So we have a question from Becky in London. She says, "You guys are amazing. You should write a book. Thank you. Thanks so much for sharing all of this. It has been so timely for me and my partner. My question for the Q&A is, when you have the dark, doubting moments or a big disappointment or even bad news or results, how do you pick yourself or each other up and refocus?" Oh, great question, Becky. Babe, do you want to answer that? Like, how did we pick each other up in this process and get back on board with where we were going?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that was a conscious act at the very beginning of this. It was kind of a, hey, look at each other, and it'll work next time, or, well, those were what the numbers said. It was kind of a real ho-hum response. I don't think we started doing that until much later in our journey, when after we'd had a conversation about the unwavering and unequivocal support that I'm going to be with you for this process, and you're doing everything you can, and we will make the decision on what's next together. And we really didn't find that mindset piece until after we were out of the fertility process with the doctors. I firmly believe we had our mindset today, what it is today, our successes would have been much, much greater. But if they weren't, then for me, I was, like I said, I was so concerned with your fear that that you felt like a failure, and that you would be, it would be too much for you, and then you'd step away, or that you felt that you ever had the fear that I would step away. Those two fears were too great for me to ignore ultimately after so long. So I would say that if you guys haven't had that conversation, that's a real big one for us that we had several times, but you, that's a tough conversation. Well, let's hear it. Hey, I'm going to leave you if you can't have a baby. I'm going to leave you because the stress is too much that you're putting on me about having a baby. Nobody wants to hear that. If that's the truth, then that's the truth. That's a conversation that, you know, is it needs to be there. If that love is not that strong, but our love was very, very specific and very strong, and I knew exactly where I needed to be, and that was with you no matter what.
Oh, happy anniversary, babe. And Becky, you know, I'll just chime in a little bit on that. Like, you know, I think we just had to, I think my husband makes a really great point, is that, you know, when we had to get really focused and really specific, because the dark and doubting moments, I think that those, I think once we had that really powerful series of conversations about where we were going on this journey and what was going to be happening for us, the doubting about us ended. Like, it was just over. Like, we were united. And, you know, and us coming together in that way was great, because we were just like, you know what, nothing's going to stop us. We're not allowing this to get in our way. And once we were united, we could deal with the uncertainty more effectively of what was going on with our fertility journey. And what was great is once we were united, you know, we started dealing with our doctors differently. We started showing up to our journey differently. And we started making choices from a place of confidence. We knew what we wanted. We were going to have our baby. We were going to be parents. And we just got relentless about that, but not from a place of fear. It came from a place of confidence. And the results were dramatically different. I mean, this is why, you know, in fairly short order, once we started living our lives again, and once we empowered ourselves, like, look, it's you and I, we're doing this, we don't know when, and we don't know exactly how, but this is happening. Like, in the context of our own extremely lengthy journey, Asher came fairly quickly after that. We could see a cascade effect where the bigger yeses we started saying to ourselves, you know, the more that we were going out there and living our lives, and, you know, because mindset transformation doesn't just affect your journey. It has a ripple effect in your life. So what we started to see was this overall wave of change in our lives, and it literally prepared us for the unexpected, because Asher came to us naturally when we had pretty much been, you know, been given this line that it was never going to happen. So I would say, Becky, you know, get really focused on what's true for you in your relationship. Get clear about that and really focus on that, and reiterate that commitment to each other. So that's what I would say to that. So I hope that we answered your question. So Ciara also has a question coming in from Baltimore. Ciara, I hope I'm saying that correctly, or Ciara, I'm not really sure. But how do you coach couples who have gone through recurring pregnancy loss? Well, every couple is going to be different, so it's kind of hard to answer that question specifically. But what I will tell you is that the couple has to be willing to receive the coaching. They have to both be on board, because as you can see, like, through my husband and I, our interaction, like, we both decided that, hey, something had to change, and we were both open. And when I started receiving the coaching, because I felt, I know my husband felt the pain in his own way, which he has absolutely shared here, but I think I had taken on a huge amount of it, and something needed to change in me, you know, because I'm carrying our son, like I'm carrying our baby, and I really wanted to be my best self. And so I took the initiative to really seek that. And when there were starting to be changes in me, the ripple effect extended to my husband. And I think that we both, I mean, it was basically the catalyst for both of us shifting. Cause you know, so many of us on this journey were like, oh, I just wish, you know, I wish he would do this, or I wish he would do that, or whatever. You know, but the reality was, is if I couldn't be the leader and I didn't have a clear vision for myself, how could I expect him to go along with what I wanted to do or what I wanted to create? I had to discover this and unleash this in myself. And very quickly, in short order, my husband followed suit. Not because he's a follower or that he's weak. I mean, quite the opposite. It was just that as women, we're keepers of the relationship, and he saw the change in me, and he was inspired by that change, and it quick things quickly fell into place shortly after that. Would you agree, Ben?
Absolutely. You know when you're bringing your best self, and I'm sure that was a conversation you had over and over again with yourself internally, and that, am I being my best self? And kind of like we discussed earlier, who wants to show up when somebody's not at their height, when they're holding back what they could? And when you sought that help, and when you got that help, and we started shifting that, and you started changing how you approach things, it certainly made the change in me easier, because you know, it's contagious. Whether it's negativity or positivity, those things are contagious in a relationship. And the stronger you are, and the happier you are, and the more firm and confident you are, of course, I'm going to feel those same things. And I think that's, you know, it definitely transformed both of us. And I'm not saying that from some weird, funny way. It's just that it's a team. You got a football team or a baseball team, to use a terrible sports analogy here as we get toward the end of this. It's that you got a good hitter on a team, and he's confident, and the guy in front of him, you know, feels confident, the guy behind him feels confident. If, you know, your star player isn't performing to what they can, then it's difficult for the team sometimes to pick that up for them. I mean, that's the purpose of a team. But when I saw the change in you and your confidence came back, it certainly put confidence in me and put confidence in me about our relationship and our prospects and our future.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think the other thing that, you know, we want everybody to understand is, like, as in, I mean, I love your sports analogy. The reality is anyone who has achieved the extraordinary had a mentor or a coach. The idea that Serena, you know, takes the court at Wimbledon, or Steph Curry takes the court at, you know, for the Golden State Warriors, you know, steps on the basketball court, you know, and, you know, you have natural raw potential and talent, but sometimes it takes a third person who has actually lived this journey to help you coach it and live it differently, you know, and we had to kind of Frankenstein that solution together at the time, but, you know, it has the power to absolutely change what you think and believe if you're willing, you know, to go for it. So, Ben, we have a question that came in. It says, my husband would like your husband to say more about his fears other than you might leave him. What else were you afraid of other than me leaving you?
One of my other biggest fears was that I am supposed to be a protector and have some form of leadership in this relationship as well, right? And that we're putting so much responsibility into the hands of doctors that I felt like I was relinquishing my decision making and my leadership in our relationship. And we actually early on had a doctor that I really, really felt that very strong. I wasn't confident in the doctor. I wasn't confident in myself. I wasn't capable of speaking up and being that leader and being that protector of us and our relationship and you. And subsequently, we had a bad experience. And that really, really turned me And my mindset around really early on is, I'm not going to let that happen to my wife and to us again. It kind of took this this blow to put up, put my armor back on and say, okay, well, hey, look, I can still be a protector. I can still be a leader in our relationship in a different way. But that was big for me because of that experience. And obviously, you know what I'm talking about. That I felt like I failed you and I felt like I failed us by putting you and us through this process that was less than genuine with and not in alignment with what I thought the process should be. And ultimately we found doctors that were in alignment and absolutely were the right direction to go. But I felt it immediately. So that was one of my other biggest fears that I faced early on was that.
Was not being a protector.
I didn't take that role like I had, and I relinquished that power to somebody else, and that was a mistake.
Yeah. No, I think that's really awesome of you to share that. So we're going to take one last question here because we've got to wrap this up. We know that everyone wants to get on with their Saturday, but this one is a question coming in from Helsinki. Nola writes, thank you very much for this webcast. My question is as follows. My husband kept pushing the decision to start trying for years and later said it was because he wasn't thinking about the issue in a rational way. Now that we're struggling with conceiving, I've started to have feelings of resentment and anger towards him because I fear he might have caused or contributed to our situation with his procrastination. How do I let go of this feeling of anger and forgive him so that we can continue as a team? That's a multifaceted question, Nola. You know, that is absolutely the kind of question that, you know, somebody can get coaching on, you know, for. But babe, do you want to take a stab at that really quick?
No, not at all, actually. If I was the one feeling like I was being resented, man, that's a really, really difficult. Resentment's a really difficult thing to get over and get through, not over necessarily, but to get through. I would say restoring the confidence that the process can work and that the relationship is a priority. And those two things were so key for me. And if I felt like I was if there was any sort of resentment about, you know, perhaps you having to drive to San Francisco 3 times a week and I wasn't making that journey with you, I think I would need to step up my support in other ways, and hopefully that would extinguish some of the resentment from your perspective, but not knowing all the ins and outs,